Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we have some big news, like a new G1-ish looking Optimus Prime with trailer. We also have colossal news about pop culture shock's G1 Transformer statues of Megatron and Grimlock. And, you know, there was something else I was supposed to mention. What was it? Oh, yeah, Hasbro's Unicron is fully funded. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, 2019, and this is episode 350 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that's watch is finally ended. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team of one, Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, the attrition on this show is it's getting pretty hefty. Isn't this like an anniversary episode of some kind? Nobody can even make this. It's crazy. Happy anniversary. Let's talk Transformers.
Yes, this is the 350th episode of Transmissions. It is divisible by 50, so I guess it's an anniversary of sorts. I don't know if people really celebrate 350 that much, but here we are.
It's a milestone. Hey, if we were Marvel, this would be a double-sized issue.
That's true. But budget cuts, so we're down to it's only half size. but of course, you know, you should be aware that Jeremy is at New York Comic Con. He only mentioned it about 10,000 times in the last month that he was going to be there. Yoshi is on assignment, like he is every other week. So it's just us. You're stuck with us.
I would say we're perfectly capable of doing this ourselves. What do we need Jeremy for? A soundboard? No. What do we need Yoshi for? Swear words? I don't freaking think so. Frig.
Well, somewhere Yoshi is flipping a table. Although we're only at half power this week, we still want to thank our Donatrons, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal, who help us keep the show going. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate it. And if you want to support us, if you're not already supporting us and you would like to, and, you know, help bring us back up to full power, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can sign up. There's links for Patreon and PayPal. If you can't do that, or, you know, if you're not interested in doing that, it's okay. It's no problem. Please continue to listen to the show. You could also buy some merchandise if you go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can get some nice Transmissions t-shirts and other stuff. You can also check out friend of the show, K-Girl, and her shop, tpublic.com/user/superstarK. She also has some cool t-shirt designs. She's helped us out a lot in the past. And we have some shirts, some of her shirts on our store. And she's got stuff on our shirts on her store. So check them out. Help us out. Also want to remind you about the Transmission 6th Anniversary Contest. That is still going strong. If you go to transmissionspodcast.com/6 years, the number 6 and years, and that's where you can sign up for our contest. You just fill out a quick form and you will be entered. And I want you to tell us some of your favorite moments from the Transmissions Podcast over the last 6 years. And, we'll collect them all and maybe talk about them on a future show. And then we'll pick winners out of that list of entries. And the winners will be randomly selected. So, you know, it's not, we don't make the choice. The random number generator does. And you've got until October 27th to, fill out that survey. So that is the last day of TFCon DC. So you've got until then to enter. The grand prize winner will receive a Respect the Prime Decepticon Purple Vinyl LP, the Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD, and a Transmissions t-shirt of their choice. And then several runners-up will receive a Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD. We have 15 so far, so there's still a very high chance you can win something.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is 8,000. We can do it.
Maybe.
We'll just keep extending the deadline. Maybe
works
not.
For some other people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some toy news going on this week.
Nothing happened this week, Charles.
Really?
Absolutely nothing happened. Let's move on to trips to the store. I'm kidding. This is the last time we're going to do this. Maybe not. We might do it in a year or so. But let's talk HasLab Unicron Watch. It's over. By the time you're hearing this, it has ended. But last night, being Saturday, the 5th, was kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's exciting, but it was kind of intriguing to watch the HasLab crowdfund page because it climbed astounding numbers to reach 8,000 backers. I don't know where it was when it started on Saturday morning, but I saw it jump at least 500 people in one day. So where it was this time last week, we were at 5,756 last week. As of right now, it is funded at 8,000 plus backers. Yes, they are not telling us the number of backers anymore, but at some point in time during today, they were still telling us the number of backers. And we did see, I myself saw it at 8,500 and something. Charles saw it at 8,520. So that's what we're going with. It was 8,500 and something. So we're at least at that. Anyway, I wish they'd tell us. They're not going to tell us. That seems stupid. But as it stands right this very moment, as I'm speaking right now, there is 2 hours and 18 minutes left in the campaign. So by the time you hear this, it's over. If anyone's listening live and hasn't done it, you've got 2 hours and 18 minutes left to fund this project and get yourself in on a Unicron. There was an awful lot of action that I saw when this thing happened, when the number hit 8,000. Actually, it started at 7,997. I saw an awful lot of people get on board. So there was a couple posts on Facebook that said, "Hey, I just backed it. Let's do it." And he showed his post at 7,997. And he took a lot of heat from people saying, "Why did you wait until it was funded?" He's like, "It's not. It was three left." So, it was kind of stupid, but, hey, you got on board. There are a lot of people out there who don't really want to put the money in until it's a sure thing. And I understand that mindset. But now it's a sure thing. So you're going to see a lot of businesses that, can fund a few extras because now they know what's going to happen. So, they're going to get it eventually, right? So it's going to happen. One post that I did see was, "Hey, now that it's above 8,000, our price is going to go down, right?" No, that's not what's going to happen. That would be nice. It would also be nice that somewhere in the next year and a bit that it's going to take to build this thing, that people that funded it will start hearing about, like, "Hey, we got all this extra money that came in. Instead of taking it all as 100% profit, we're going to give you extra stuff. So with your Unicron, you're now getting this and this and this." And, that would be kind of cool. But as it stands right now, that's not happening. And I don't expect it to happen. So that's unfortunate. But, it's the cost of the figure that they're getting. So, yeah. Anyway, stuff that happened this week, other than Unicron getting funded, because of New York Comic Con, they released another little tidbit to kind of get the interest of it up. And these were another little figure and an Autobot shuttle to go along with the Unicron. So we'd already seen the Galvatron, and the one that they're showing is, I'm assuming it's the exact same because it looks the same. But they've also now added a hot rod to this. Same scale, very tiny, but they've now added a Autobot shuttle as well.
Though, look, just looking at the, you know, that when they first showed the Galvatron and they showed Unicron holding the Galvatron in his hand, that looked significantly bigger than what they showed at New York Comic Con. And the Galvatron in Unicron's hand looked to be about the size of what the shuttle turned out to be.
Oh, well, you know, they're still tweaking it maybe, but yeah, I don't know. They did show this, like you said, they did show this in physical form at New York Comic Con. And Jeremy did get some pictures for us, and those did go up on our social media feeds. So if you want to take a look there, you can. The shuttle is not in scale with these little tiny figures. Since they were trying to go within scale, I would have hoped that they would do the shuttle in scale. They really wouldn't have had to go much bigger, but they made the shuttle pretty small. Along with this release of this information, they also released a series of pictures where they showed an improved hand for Unicron. So 15 points of articulation are now included in Unicron's hand alone. You're getting 3 per finger. So let's not get all, you know, excited over, you know, 15 points in a hand. That's amazing. Yeah, there's 3 in every finger. So, you know, there you go. It looks good. It looks
just like a real hand.
Hey, wow. So it looks pretty good. And there is some actual screws in it, like real metal screws. So I'm impressed by that. So you don't see that anymore. But it does, it looks like it's very articulate and it does look like it'll hold up to some, you know, holding of items, which is good. Moving on. They did announce that if you fund or become a backer, you will receive an exclusive digital comics bundle from IDW Publishing, available only through Comixology. This kind of irked me because there are a lot of people out there that are very specific and very dedicated Transformers comic collectors and will buy every single cover that is available for their books. This one here is being produced a special cover for Unicron by Andrew Griffith. This is a homage to Transformers number 1, the Marvel Transformers number 1, and instead of Optimus Prime kind of being on the front there, they've now replaced him with Unicron, and he's holding a Galvatron, and there's Cyclonus, and there's Hot Rod, you know, flying by, and it looks very similar to Transformers number 1. It's a very good-looking cover. There seemed to be a lot of confusion over everyone, I want to get this cover, where can I get this cover, I just want this by itself. It's digital, okay? So you're not actually getting anything physical here, you know? It's a very awesome cover. I think it's a really great image, right? But nobody's actually going to get any physical product here. It's all digital. Personally, if I were getting this item, have them print the damn book. There's a lot of space in this box. It's got to be a huge box. You're putting something round in it. There's going to be corners and all these other spots you can stuff things. Put a damn comic book in there, like print the damn thing. So it's something else that's free, sure, whatever. If comics via Comixology is your deal, you're going to get something, an exclusive bundle. We don't know what else is in the bundle.
I think it's the Transformers the movie adaptation that
right.
IDW
yes,
did.
That's right.
It's art by Don Figueroa and written by Bob Budiansky.
Right. So yeah, no, that's pretty cool. That's being added, and if you're buying this, I mean, honestly, you're buying this for Unicron. You're not buying this for all the extra little goodies. So, hey, if you don't use it, you don't use it. There was a video produced by Hasbro that is going to run down all the add-ons that are coming with Unicron now. So you can take a look at that. It's on YouTube. You can see every single thing that comes with it. We've gone over every single thing. 27 inches tall. At 50 points of articulation, the planet mode is 30 inches in diameter, interchangeable face and chin, removable head, a head display stand, new hands with 15 points of articulation, Hot Rod Galvatron Autobot shuttle, and exclusive IDW comic bundle. So there you go. But that's all in this new video. And then we've got the New York Comic Con coverage on him. And He looked good there. Jeremy seemed to be very impressed about how big this thing was, actually, because, you know, I think he's the first one of us to actually see this in person.
And yeah, like you said, he got pictures and stuff too.
So he got some really cool pictures. So we'll take a look at the, we'll talk to Jeremy a little bit about that when he gets back next week. Moving on, and last real piece of news is that there's an interview with the Takara Tomy senior product designer, Takashi Kurihiro, about Unicron. And there's a nice comparative picture showing Unicron standing next to the Titan Fortress Maximus. And he doesn't tower over him, but he's a good head taller, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a big figure to be compared next to. And that's a good interview if you want to read through that. And there's one last one that I just threw in here just because I saw it and I thought this was very interesting. Unicron, HasLab's Unicron, has already appeared on eBay. There's somebody selling HasLab's Unicron right now on eBay. It is somebody with 247 feedback, so not a lot. They're using all the product or promo photos, or a couple of the promo photos, and a couple photos from what looked to be SDCC. They are currently selling him for $1,550. And two are available.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And $55 shipping.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, this is something I think eBay shouldn't even allow this. I mean, this doesn't exist. This person there's no possible way this person could actually have this unless they broke into the display at New York Comic Con and stole the prototype.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
So
they're promising something they're going to get in like a year and a half.
Yeah. What was the thing that I saw that kind of made me chuckle here is on here, there's like a will ship by date, and this will ship by date was like October the 17th. Like in 11 days, it's going to ship.
No. October the 17th, 2021?
Yeah. Anyway, so I fully expect to see more of these pop up, especially with the campaign ending in 2 hours. Yeah, so this person has obviously bought a couple of them or has backed it twice, maybe three times, maybe more, and is now looking to offload a couple of them before they're even produced. So, yeah, good luck with this, buddy. I don't see this happening. Once it's produced and you cannot get these anymore, then, yeah, this kind of thing is going to happen. But doing it right now, it's not smart.
I mean, even the third party sellers, their markup is like $200. This is like he's got a 200% markup here. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Yeah, but other than that, I think it's funny. So, I mean, once it comes out, we were talking about it. There were two more things that I can kind of touch on real quickly because the videos are kind of making the rounds right now. And that is two quick little videos that were produced by, I think it was TFU.info, Ant over there did them. And he got John Barber on camera. And basically the two questions that were asked were, one, can you get this once it's funded and the time has elapsed, so in after 2 hours is over, can you still get one? And his answer was no. Once the time is done, it's done.
Oh, you mean John Warden. Oh, you said John Barber.
Sorry, not John Barber. John Barber doesn't talk to anybody anymore. He's too busy. Yeah, so sorry, John Warden. He said basically, yeah, you're not going to be able to get this thing after it's been produced or after the crowdfund time has elapsed. Because it's a one and done kind of thing, and the orders will be the orders, and that's it. And then the other question was what about repaints and re-releases? And he says, nope, there's none of those either. It's once it's done, and it's not being done again. So yeah, those are really quick. I think the videos are like, one is like 18 seconds, and then the other one is like 7 seconds long. These are not long videos, and you can see them over on TFU.info's Twitter page.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll link to those so you can check those out.
But that's all I've got about Unicron right now. Do you want to talk about something else? I think we've talked about Unicron for a long time. You don't have any vested interest in Unicron, do you?
No. I mean, why would I care about Unicron? I mean,
yeah.
I'm kidding, of course. I am one of those backers. I backed it before, even before they extended the campaign. Oh, so, you know, I.
Here it is. The freaking Unicron hippie.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm happy. I'm excited. You know, I'm glad everything worked out. I hope that, by the time you're listening to this, maybe Hasbro will actually announce the final tally after the campaign is over. I don't know why they're hiding it now, but I hope they'll give, one of our listeners was telling us that for the Jabba sail barge, they announced a percentage at the end of the campaign. So if they do that, we can use basic math to figure out what the actual number was if they give us a percentage, but I guess we'll see. The other thing I just wanted to mention, because there are conspiracy theories are going around, like, did Hasbro fudge the numbers? Did they are these all Hasbro numbers? You know, what's real and what's fake? I will say, I mean, I'm not as skeptical as other people are, but I will say there was they did do a thing where just like what they did before the original deadline ended, the week before the original deadline ended, they just chucked in 1500 into the count to account for the affiliate overseas orders. And they did the same thing this time where they chucked in 1,000 to account for that. Like it was like Monday or Tuesday, they chucked in an extra 1,000, which took the total from 5,700 up to about 6,700. But then from there, it kind of the numbers just kept adding up. You know, from that Tuesday when it was at 6,700 to Saturday, there was a steady trickle in of numbers. And I mean, I was watching it on and off. I didn't see any like weird jumps after that 6,700. It was just like a continuous stream of, you know, one or two, three or four over and over again. I mean, I guess, you know, Hasbro could have written an algorithm where they like just, you know, throw the numbers in periodically to make it look, you know, they just create like a random distribution and then make it look plausible that the numbers are going in. But I mean, I think that's at least too conspiratorial for me. I think they do want to make money off of this. It's not John Warden isn't the head of Hasbro and he just loves Transformers so much. He wants to get it done. And he doesn't care if he makes any money. I mean, the corporation does want to turn a profit, so they're not going to put in like, you know, 2,000 fake orders just to get it made. I mean, I think it legitimate. I mean, and this is the pattern of Kickstarters, like crowdfunded things usually have this surge of backers at the very end. I mean, this is just the human psychology that people don't want to back it until the last minute. I mean, we're all kind of procrastinators in general. And once the momentum builds up and people see, oh, this actually has a chance, this is actually really might happen, that momentum just kept building up. And I think the New York Comic Con publicity helped too. I mean, you had a little bit of hype from New York Comic Con and everything. I think, you know, that was intentional, of course, too, because they didn't pick October 6th arbitrarily. They knew it was going to coincide with New York Comic Con. So I think, you know, Hasbro made things as favorable as possible, but I don't think they outright cheated. So that's my assessment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is my first time really. I mean, I haven't really gotten involved with any crowdfunds like through Kickstarter or anything like that, but this is really the first time I've actually followed a Kickstarter super closely. We've paid attention to some of the Make Toys ones and some of the other kind of like other Kickstarters, but we follow this one like really closely, and we've seen the numbers kind of bounce up and down through the weeks and whatnot. And this one had two real climb periods where it basically these were on the days in which it was supposed to end. You know, yesterday mm-hmm. was the, you know, the day before it was supposed to end, but you know, that's neither here nor there, because it just kind of got close enough to where it was gonna go, and then the excitement kind of just pushed it over, I think. I don't know. I tend to think that the consensus is that, you know, a lot of people think that the numbers were fudged. You're asking people to believe that there's not 8,000 people in the world that don't want this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbers that are produced for like a general, you know, leader class toy or a Titan class toy. Titan class would be the closest, right? What the actual mm-hmm. numbers are produced like for mainline stuff, but it's got to be over 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be at least 250,000 for some of these Titan class things. I'd say it's closer to 1 million. To say that there's not 8,000 people globally that don't want this thing, you know, or could afford it, that's probably the better question or statement, is asking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, also the when they opened it up to the UK and EU, Kapow Toys website crashed on Friday because of the traffic they got.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think Hasbro intentionally crashed that website's traffic to make it look like there was a lot of demand. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think that's real demand. Like people were already complaining about in the UK and Europe that they wanted to get in on it and they couldn't. And once Kapow Toys opened up, I think a lot of people jumped in on it.
Yeah. No, I think it's legit. And you have to remember, like, we saw the numbers go past 8,000 up to at least 8,500. So even the idea that there were some phony backers in there, those backers wouldn't have pushed it past 8,000 like that far, you know? Like they probably would have done it a bit just to kind of make it seem, you know, like it was legit, but I don't think they would have gone to 8,500. So I think there's enough legitimate buyers in here, even if there were some phony ones, just to kind of make it happen. So I'm yeah. fine with it. I don't really think there's that much of a, you know, there's probably is some stuff at play just to kind of make it happen. Obviously they extended the deadline. That's a huge one, right? They yeah. set a deadline and then there's just like, oh, it's not going to happen. Let's just make it go longer.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's a dead giveaway that they did mess with it. But personally, I have no problem. They needed 8,000. They got 8,000.
Yep. All right. Well, yeah. So Unicron was the only thing that happened this week.
That was it.
Yeah, of course. So the Transformers were at New York Comic Con. We had Unicron there, but other stuff showed up too.
Joker happened this weekend.
Yeah, Joker. That's right.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. We should watch it. Talk about it.
I'm probably on the fence. I don't know if I'm going to go see it, but we'll see. Yeah.
Says a lot about yourself. Yeah.
You're not going to shame me into seeing the Joker, but anyway. But yeah, New York Comic Con happened. Transformers got revealed. They got revealed even before New York Comic Con. One thing I took away from this was that the rumor that we had last week was all true. Like everything that we had on that list of toys in that rumored listing
mm-hmm.
all got confirmed. So there were basically not for at least for the mainline stuff, no major surprises there. But IGN, the giant video game website that somehow does other stuff too, they got a preview of all the they got a preview of some of the Transformers that were showing up because they had a story that went up October 1st before they were revealed at NYCC, and they revealed the next chapter in the War for Cybertron trilogy. So first chapter was Siege, and the second chapter is Earthrise. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Earth now.
Didn't take long.
Fine. And, of course, we start off with a brand new shiny Optimus Prime. Yet another Optimus Prime. but, of course, you know, Optimus Prime is a favorite. That's not surprising. And this is a G1, very G1 Optimus Prime, and he has a trailer. So this is, you know, very much hook, you know, playing on the nostalgia for Optimus Prime. He has a matrix in his chest. He has yellow eyes. He has the repair bay and roller. So it's just, you know, if you want an updated G1 Optimus Prime, this is the figure for you. And it's leader class. So this is a leader class figure, not a Voyager class figure like the Siege one. Optimus Prime, good old Optimus Prime. He's back in G1 form. We also got some MicroMasters, more MicroMasters, the Hot Rod Patrol featuring Daddy-O and Trip Up. And Daddy-O, I thought was just nice because the original name for that one was Big Daddy, and I guess that was they couldn't get the trademark for that. And I think Daddy-O is a suitable replacement for that. That's nice. We also have a Voyager Grapple. So we got Grapple. So Inferno should not be far behind, but this is a very, I'd say G1-ified Grapple here and looking very nice. Maybe people say that that orange is what the Unicron color should be. I don't know. But yeah, it looks good. The Grapple looks good. The final thing, and we talked about this last week, what it was. I was completely wrong about this. We had a Deluxe MicroMaster Base Ironworks. So this is a reimagining of the MicroMaster bases, but he also gets a robot mode now. So he's not he splits up into lots of different components. He can plug into other stuff. Apparently, these MicroMaster bases are also going to be compatible with the Titans Return figures that had the base that turns into bases like the Fortress Maximus and Triptychon. So you can build like even larger cities with all these MicroMaster bases as well. So that's cool. And then there's a little blurb in the article. I didn't see any other mention of this at New York Comic Con or anywhere else. Like nobody really asked about this. At least I didn't see anything about it. Maybe there was some information, but in the IGN article, it says each figure comes with a piece of the Transformers universe map, and collecting the figures allows you to complete the map in its entirety. So not really sure what the Transformers universe map is, but I guess you've got your own little figure builder thing, but it's not a figure. It's a map.
Probably back of the box. You got to cut your boxes about up.
Well, don't like that. Like I said, we got a preview of all these reveals already last week, but you know, now we see the pictures and everything. What do you think of these guys? Are these are you satisfied with this new direction for the next War for Cybertron line?
I like it. I think it's really cool. An Optimus is an Optimus is an Optimus. This is it looks fine. He looks like a G1 truck. He looks pretty masterpiece quality, you know, as far as like the look of the cab and whatnot. I'm sure there's some like serious gaps and stuff where we're not really getting a chance to see as far as the picture goes, but he looks decent. The yellow eyes bug me. Nothing a little bit of paint can't fix. Yeah, I don't mind the shield. I mean, that's just part of the trailer. Yeah, he looks good. He looks like a decent Optimus. And the repair bay. I mean, this guy gets a trailer. Why doesn't the G1 reissue get a trailer, you know? The Hot Rod Patrol. I recently had a chance to mess with the original Hot Rod Patrol. And they're cool. They're cool looking figures, the original ones. And these ones look good, too. Just, they look the same. That's been my issue with the MicroMasters the entire time. So, I like them. And if they ever made the next or the additional two, then I'd... You know, I might pick them up, but it's they're the same, you know. Grapple is, like you said, he's an inferno, waiting to happen, and that's okay with me. The mold looks fine. It looks solid enough. And it's a truck that, has a crane bit on it. It looks decent. They're doing some kind of, looks like they're doing some kind of folding up of the crane arm, unless it gets really tiny. To hide on the back, because generally that thing will go all the way to the floor. But yeah, I'd be interested to see what they're doing there. But I like the main story here is this Ironworks. I love this thing. I think it's really cool. And if they're gonna do this with a whole bunch of different, you know, bases, then I am in.
Yeah, I hope this is just the first of many. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what they were calling like Brunt and. Six Gun, and there had some kind of name for him, like the weaponizer.
Weaponizers.
Yeah, so
yeah, weaponizer.
So the Titans ran out of weaponizer guys. So I mean, there weren't enough to go around, and so they made the Power Dashers out of them. Right? They basically needed something else to kind of take the place of these guys because they needed more crap to kind of go around and plug into shit. Right? So this Ironworks and the other bases. They can build, you can build so much. And the fact that this plugs into to like Metroplex, like that's like 5 years old, you know? This is, they're building stuff that is compatible with stuff generations old.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. That's amazing to me that they're conscious of all this old stuff and they're sticking with it and they're using it still, right? And I absolutely love it. It's, you know, the play pattern for generations mainline stuff is unfreaking believable right now. And if you just wanted to stick with the Ironworks and the rest of the bases that they bring out and whatnot, you could totally just do that. You know, there's a lot of people that cannot afford the Titan class figures. I get it. They're expensive, right? But you can just stick with these, you know, base figures and build a huge base out of them. There's there's going to be nothing wrong with people saying, you know what? I wanted to get 3 Ironworks and, you know, 2 of these other ones, and I built a little city of my own, you know, and it's not Metroplex, but it's, you know, it's Iacon, or it's, you know, I built a little city or Kaon or whatever. And I'm like, that's awesome. I love it. You know? So yeah, I'm all for these things. I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, it's very cool. I can't wait to see what other, I was out of Transformers when the MicroMaster bases were around, so I'm not really familiar with them at all. So I need to go dive back into TFU.info or the TF Wiki and see what is potentially coming, because I think we'll have mm-hmm. some hints there. Well,
there's 4. There are 4 original MicroMaster bases
mm-hmm.
of the ones that they're referencing with Ironworks. So, I mean, don't at me. There's a bunch of little like vehicles that become bases and all this other shit too, but Ironworks is the only one I don't have. I've got the three other ones. So yeah, there's some really cool ones. Like there's a gas station one, there's a garage, and then there's an airport. I don't remember the names of them, but those are the functions of them. And mm-hmm. yeah, so they're all really cool. And I, you know, and they all become like, you know, the original G1s, they just transform into like these other weaponed base things, and then they just kind of transform back into these very mild mannered stores and stuff. So it's kind of funny, but yeah, I'm fully in for this. I love the idea.
Awesome. All right, well, that was to wet your whistle, and then we move on to the full-blown meal at New York Comic Con, and we start off with the Sci-Fi Wire reveal presentation panel that was hosted by the Black Nerd. His name's Andre, but on YouTube, he's the Black Nerd. He's the Black Nerd. He's the only one. I guess I don't count. I don't know. But
you're the doctor. You're the Black Doctor.
The only one.
The only one. There's no others.
But yeah. So, Daryl, why don't you take us through the Sci-Fi Wire panel?
I got a chance to watch this thing here. It was kind of fun. Started off as, pretty nonchalant. They just chatted a bit and, it was, like you said, the Black Nerd hosted the panel with John Warden and Ben Montano. They started off and brought out a series of figures. They showed off the what will be, I believe it's going to be the Walmart exclusive 35th anniversary edition of the Voyager class Siege Optimus and Megatron that have the cell shaded painting. So that's right. What they're calling it. Yeah. So cell shaded paint job on them, and they look really good. The Optimus looks phenomenal, actually. I think the Optimus looks way better than the Megatron, but they both look really good. I don't intend to double dip on either one of them, but if I were, the Optimus would totally be what I would go for. They also then showed off the what were being sold at the show there. You can also get them online right now, I think it's Cromar they're calling him, is the one of the Power Dashers, and then Hotshot, the repaint of Hound into Hotshot there. And Hotshot, in fact, has also started showing up in Canada at EB Games. So not exactly an exclusive, as it's showing up in a regular store. So that's kind of cool. They talked about that for a bit. And then blew everyone's mind by bringing out Earthrise Starscream. This is a Voyager class figure, and just sat him down on the desk, and he looks ready to go. Like, he's not prototype. He is like production ready, and that is pretty cool. The biggest comment that seemed to be floating around is that he's a big version of Classics Starscream. So that mold that got used and abused a billion times, this is just a bigger version. Personally, I don't have a problem with that because I thought that that mold was amazing. But we'll see how it turns out. But it looks really good. I believe we got a lot of pictures of it once it hit the show floor and people could snap some really decent pictures of it. But yeah, in both alt mode and robot mode, it does look to be very similar. And then, as they tend to do at New York Comic Con, they tend to reveal their next Titan, or at least tease it. And they did that. So they brought out this figure. They said he's not named yet, but everyone could tell who he is. This is it's a head for a Titan class figure or a city bot. And this head is also a headmaster. So the head of the head comes off and becomes a little dude too, which is pretty cool. And it was in prototype plastic. Was pretty easy to tell who it was. The next Titan's going to be Scorponok. Which we all kind of suspected was going to be even before the reveal, because it was the only one left on the list that they produced years ago, and it was the only Titan that has not been built or remade yet. So,
and they specifically said it's a Decepticon city bot, and Trypticon already exists.
That's so right. Yeah,
there's not much other choice.
So it looks good. They definitely have a couple. There's a couple digibashes that made it up on the internet already of the possible colors. I threw out there that it would be really interesting if for next year's SDCC they did a black Zarak. That would be that'd be interesting if that came out. But seems that a lot of people are having that idea as well. I'm excited. I mean, I've gotten all of the Titan class figures so far, except I don't have Omega Supreme. He hasn't kind of come around here yet. He's still just gotten out. But I fully expect to get this as well and kind of complete keep the Titan class stuff going. And I don't know who's left. I mean, after Scorponok, I mean, who do they do? Like, you got to start. Do you dip into like Japanese stuff? You got to keep it relevant for the North American market, right? So I don't know if there's anybody left. That'll be tough to do. But that was the general kind of consensus of the sci-fi wire reveal panel. And yeah, did anything kind of, I mean, you got a chance to watch it after the fact, I know, but did anything kind of blow you away by it?
Well, I mean, the one thing, of course, I mean, they didn't talk about it because, you know, they're trying to keep it, I guess, vague or whatever. But the Scorponok reveal, I mean, that's the one thing that's cool is that, you know, the original Scorponok was not a headmaster of a headmaster. He was just one level headmaster. So they've already made they're giving him parity with Fortress Maximus and making him a double, you know,
that's
headmaster
right.
within headmaster. So
now my question about that, though, was he in the cartoon a double headmaster?
No, he was not.
Has he ever been in any fiction?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. Yeah.
All right.
So this is completely new. I mean, yeah, in the cartoon, Scorponok was not even like a person. He was just Zarek, you know, Zarek turned into a head and then controlled the giant beast. Like the Scorponok was not a character. In the comic, Scorponok was a character and he merged with the human Zarek and they like just, you know, there was some back and forth there about like who's actually controlling who and everything.
Gotcha.
And then Regeneration 1 muddied the waters a little bit more, but yeah, that was it. There was never another robot level between Zarek and Scorponok. So.
And in which continuity?
So I'm curious.
Which continuity did Scorponok become a mother?
That was the IDW continuity.
Right.
Yeah. Where he created a human Decepticon hybrid thing. Yeah.
Gotcha.
The latter end of Lost Light. when Lost Light went completely bonkers at the end there.
You jumped the shark.
But yeah, so I'm curious what they're going to, like, is Zarek the tiny headmaster or is Zarek the deluxe version or is that named something else or yeah what is or is it yeah I'm curious what it's going to be, how they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten all the Titan figures. I think I've gotten the Devastator and the Trypticon, but nothing else. I probably will. I mean, I'm guessing I won't be picking. I mean, with Unicron, I don't think I have space for another Titan figure here. So
come on,
But I think Scorponok is cool. It's cool and we've already seen like the speculation pictures that Scorponok would be like a heavy retooling of the Omega Supreme figure.
Yes,
I guess that's possible.
You shared that picture out, and then we did see that earlier on in the week that Omega Supreme in the Scorponok pose that kind of seemed to work.
Yep. So yeah, that's cool. But that's not all. That was like the course one. We still got more stuff because they didn't show everything at this panel, and they just put everything out on the table to show more. So we'll save the best for last, but I did want to mention just quickly, we did get some pictures of the Pop Culture Shock G1 statues. So these are more like these are also kind of cell shaded figures. There's one of Grimlock. There's a Megatron. I think the Optimus Prime already came out, didn't it?
Yes.
So now we've got the Megatron and Grimlock to complement them. So
that Grimlock looks like it's right out of the like the menu screen of Devastation. Like, yeah, it's gorgeous.
No, it's definitely these are very cool and very much like, if you want something that captures the G1 cartoon aesthetic, these do it perfectly. We talked about the Megatron, I think last week, the eyes for the Megatron are still bothering me, but yeah, I think in general, the figures look really nice. Moving on from that, we also have Transformers Cyberverse, which this is for, you know, more for the kiddies, not for the, you know, the generation stuff is more for the older kids and the adult collectors, the kids at heart, but the Cyberverse stuff. Cyberverse is still going strong. We've got the show season 2 is premiering now and has been up for the last few weeks. So they're rolling out the next wave of the next figures for Cyberverse. They showed off 4 figures here: Optimus Prime, Megatron, Shockwave, and Bumblebee. These are all deluxe class figures. So all about the same size, and they all have these little, you know, like, spring-loaded gimmicks. And, you know, they're fine. I mean, the Cyberverse things are not, I think they're not as, there's not as much, I guess, care put into them as the Generations figures, which is a little, I mean, disappointing for me, but, if the kids like them, I think they're cool. I mean, definitely the show is good, and I'm enjoying the show. I just wish the figures were, you know, a little bit nicer. But the interesting thing, though, was that in addition to the main figures, they're introducing a Build-A-Figure gimmick, where each one of these deluxe figures comes with a piece of Macadam. So if you remember last year, we talked about season 1 of Cyberverse, and they introduced the character of Macadam, the owner and proprietor of Macadam's old oil house. He was kind of a mystical figure because he had some kind of future sight where he was always telling people like stuff that hadn't happened yet. There was kind of some speculation that he might be Primus or connected to Primus. I thought his face looked a lot like Rung, which also fuels my thoughts that he might be connected to Primus. But the interesting thing is that you can collect all the pieces of Macadam, and if you buy all 8 deluxes, you'll get a piece, and then you get your own Macadam figure. He doesn't transform, I don't think, but it's still cool to see this Build-A-Figure guy. Anything in Cyberverse that caught your eye, Daryl, or is the Build-A-Figure interesting for you?
Just the Build-A-Figure, really. Just the Build-A-Figure, because Transformers in general is not known for doing Build-A-Figures. I had made the mistake on when this was all coming out to say that this was going to be the first Build-A-Figure in Transformers and was immediately corrected by a bunch of people who said that Transmutate was actually the first, and they were right. Yeah, but I think this is a lot better looking than Transmutate because that is nightmare-inducing. So, yeah, I'm pretty cool with, you know, McAdam here. I like his look. You know, I wish it kind of had some kind of transformation, even if it was basic. It's all ball joints. I mean, that's how it's going to have to work. But I don't know. I like it. I've stayed away from Cyberverse because, I mean, I have to make sacrifices somewhere because it's too costly to buy everything. But I wouldn't mind tracking down a McAdam if I could, just because he's cool. And yeah, I don't know. But I'm not buying 8 Cyberverse figures for McAdam. So yeah. But I like the idea. And if they do this more often with different stuff, then you know what? I'd be in for it.
All right. Well, let's finish up with the major reveals that came out on the show floor for War for Cybertron Earthrise. So Daryl, take us through the rest of the figures they showed off here.
Okay, so we got a bunch of stuff that they didn't even mention in the like the reveal panel. So I mean, if they're gonna reveal it in the reveal panel. That's what the panel's there for. But we got a lot of stuff here. So this Battlemaster sound barrier. So we haven't had a new Battlemaster revealed in a while. So this sound barrier, he's a little guy, but he folds down into becoming a shield. So that's kind of cool. He could also be used as a ramp on a, on one of those Micromaster bases that we were talking about before. And, he's doesn't really have any kind of history. He's just a new character. So I think that's kind of cool. Then we've got that we were talking about before. We've got the Hot Rod Patrol. We've got the Military Patrol. So that we didn't really talk about before because that was new. So Military Patrol is also a patrol that is, you know, kind of a carryover from an original G1 name. Just a couple. One's a tank and one's like a truck with a cannon on top. So, yeah, they're military guys. As per the name, Military Patrol.
Decepticons are military hardware, right?
There you go. Getting into the more straightforward stuff. So we got some deluxes here. The one that kind of was rumored to be coming, and because it appeared in a box and was part of a winning team or the losing team that kind of came out first, there is a deluxe Wheeljack coming. And I think it looks good. I like it. It's definitely using a lot of lines from the Lancia Stratos car that the original Wheeljack was. And because it is the Earthrise, so these are all Earth-based modes like we were talking about before. And yeah, so he's definitely his Earth mode again. I like it. I like Wheeljack. His Earth mode has always been a cool, like really early, late 70s, early 80s vehicle. And I'm fine with that. We go from Wheeljack. We're going to go to a deluxe Hoist. And if you know your Transformers history, if there's a Hoist, there will be a Trailbreaker or Trail Cutter. So Hoist looks fantastic. He's got all his accoutrement on the back to do all the towing and repair that he will do in alt mode. But it seems to fold up pretty nicely on his back. His arm cannon seems egregiously large, but, whatever. I like the way that he seems to look here in the CG model that they've got going on. He looks like Hoist. I mean, what can I say? They do have a lot of the siege battle damage on the front of the Hoist vehicle mold, though. That's a little unfortunate.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh. I was thinking they were doing away with the battle damage for this one. Oh, now I'm disappointed.
Well, let's look at the next one and see if there's some battle damage on him. We're going to go to Deluxe Cliff Jumper. And he looks pretty darn good. And just a quick little overview on him. I don't see any battle damage in the CG model. He looks really decent. Again, he's a deluxe vehicle, but he could be on the small side, being a, you know, a cliff jumper figure. He does come with a few weapons. Now, if you disassemble those weapons, you can actually put skis on his front wheels, and that's kind of cool. You don't often see that kind of referenced in mainline stuff, so that's cool. He's not a Porsche anymore. Somebody did figure out what he was, and I've lost that, so I don't know what he is anymore. But he's not a Porsche, and that's okay. That could have been why it was, you know, you don't see a lot of cliff jumpers, but who knows. But his weapon does assemble into that large cannon that you often see him paired with. But he looks good. A lot of people that were online were analyzing this, saying that his robot mode or transformation was based off of the original MP Bumblebee, so the kind of squat one. So there's a lot in here that kind of reminds a lot of people of that that transformation, and I can see it, but it won't be until I see it in hand or get it in hand that I kind of figure it out. And lastly, as far as the deluxes go, we've got Ironworks, and we've talked about him before and how awesome this figure is. So I won't belay the point on that anymore. Next is Earthrise Voyager Starscream, and we've kind of gone on this a bit. Just looking at the alt mode on him, he looks like this F-15 looks just awesome. I mean, by going on this, you can definitely see where they took the reference of the classics mold on there. And I believe in an interview with TFU.info, John Warden even admitted that they took a lot of reference from the classics mold on it. So I look forward to hearing that interview. Next, we've got pictures and references for Grapple. So we've talked about him a lot and how awesome he is. And last, we've got the leader class Optimus Prime. I'm curious on, I mean, I didn't mention it before, but as far as leader class stuff goes, he is classed as a leader, but he is coming with a trailer. So, you know, we've seen that before with stuff like Shockwave, where the figure itself is likely more of a Voyager class, but the additional stuff. So for Shockwave, it's all that other junk. And for Optimus, it's his trailer puts it into that leader class category. So I'd be interested to see if actually Optimus Prime is actually more of a Voyager class figure instead of a giant leader class figure.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would probably make sense. But yeah, I don't know if we have any, I guess the pictures of the display at New York Comic Con don't really give us a way to put him right next to some of the other figures to see,
mm-hmm.
like, how tall he is.
Yeah. Is there anything that I missed or anything you wanted to comment on?
I was just really surprised by the cliff jumper, by the accessories that came with that cliff jumper, like the cannon that's basically a reference directly to the first episode of the G1 cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skis from, like, the one episode where they were surfing on the ocean.
Yeah.
So those I appreciate those little deep cuts, so that's cool. And I wonder if there's going to be a Bumblebee in this line now that they've got the cliff jumper. So
I don't know. What I'd like to see is a line where you have a cliff jumper and a Bumblebee that don't share a mold. That would be that would be interesting to me.
It's also interesting because cliff jumper, he's a deluxe. He's basically the same size as the other guys here. Like, usually, you know, he's a mini-bot, so yeah. That's interesting. Hmm. I guess they've kind of eliminated the Legends class for the War for Cybertron line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Legends class has been replaced by Micromasters and the Battlemasters.
Yeah, and I think that's probably for the best. You got too many small class sizes, and there's too much overlap.
All right, well, that is everything from New York Comic Con. I know you just paid for Unicron maybe, but now you gotta save up for all the Earthrise stuff that's coming out next year. So your wallet doesn't get any rest. All right. Let's move on to some trips to the store. And this is where we show off all the cool Transformer stuff we got this week. We do this as a video that you'll see on YouTube, and we show off all our purchases in beautiful high definition. But we also put the audio right here where we'll describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
So I'm going to start off, and then Daryl, I'll let you bring us home. You
didn't even ask me if I had anything.
Well, do you have something, Daryl? Oh, I hope you do.
I do.
Okay. All right. I assume that I have less than you, because that's generally a good assumption for most weeks. Unicron doesn't come in for another year and a half.
I'll find something. I think I got something around here.
All right. First off, I got the last Transformers Ghostbusters comic. This is issue number 5. This is the Dan Shooning cover. I didn't get any of the variant covers, unfortunately. My shop didn't have them. But this is a good little crossover. Very enjoyable. The Ghostbusters team did right by the Transformers, and we might be getting more in the future. Ectotron will return, it says at the end of this, so looking forward to it. I also got one other thing. So I backed the Cybertronic Spree Kickstarter, and the CD finally came. So this is the Cybertronic Spree. Of course, they already got the digital music. They had released the digital music to all their backers already, but now this is the actual CD. It's got a Matrix there. Very cool.
Does it open?
And
open that Matrix.
I'm not the chosen one. It's not working for me. So
try harder.
Also the inside is signed by the band, so all the signatures. They did this for each one.
Dude, you that's got Unicron signature? That's amazing.
Yep. Jealous?
I am.
And stickers. Came with stickers, too.
That's cool.
So, nice. And they have their own kind of, their own little symbol, blend of Autobot and Decepticon symbol there for the Cybertronic Spree. And then a big Matrix decal there. Decal, I should say. So, yeah. So that's what I got this week. So, Daryl, pass it over to you.
That's pretty cool. I like that. That's fun. I, too, got comics. This is the Ghostbusters Transformers number 5, the Dan Shooning cover. I'm looking forward to putting this up and kind of having all of the books, you know, combined there in that one big image, because it looks kind of cool. I did get the cover B by Nick Roach, so that nice. That looks pretty cool. I like that a lot. If I ever do get my Ectotron and my Ghostbusters MP Optimus out, and this will go behind it in a cabinet or something like that, because it looks pretty cool. I do have two figures to show. These are kind of working on my completion of the G1 Euro Turbo Masters. I need one more still, but this is this completes the cars, so the ground assault is done. This is Flash. He's very flashy.
Nice. Translucent plastic there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got his window anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's got all his missiles and all that stuff, and it's pretty cool. And then this is Hurricane, the other one.
Nice.
The really cool thing about these guys is that these all the cars in the Euro G1 line and the Decepticons, or the Predators, they called them, they shared missiles. So the cars had the yellow missiles, and then the Predators had these green missiles, and they all shared the same missile. So basically, if you had enough missiles, you were okay for, you know, playing with them. So each car came with 3. The only ones that had different ones were I think it was only Thunderclash that actually had a different missile. So his was a larger yellow missile. I don't think any of the Decepticon Predator ones had different ones. They were all the green one. But anyway, they're fun. They're cool. They're I like having these guys. The transformation on Hurricane is kind of weird. He's just this really weird looking robot. But Flash is cool. The only one I need now is Rotostorm, I think is his name. He's a larger helicopter. But I plan on getting him sometime soon, I hope. But I don't know where I'm going to put him. He's a giant helicopter. But yeah, that's what I got today, actually. Or not, that's all I've got today. It's been a light week for me. Some Euro trash for the show.
Very cool. All right, I guess that the fact that all the missiles are the same makes it easier to complete figures then when you're hunting for accessories.
It does. It makes it much easier to buy them on eBay. You know, you just type in Turbo Master missile and you get them. Problem is since they are Euro G1, they kind of end up being pretty expensive. So one missile will cost you around $5 or so, and they're tiny. So it's a
Yeah.
But now I've got them all, so I don't need to worry about the cars anymore.
All right. Well, that'll do it for Trips to the Store. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right. We're back from our trips to the store, and we will finish up the show with some feedback. All right, so as I mentioned last week, we had some good feedback from our newest Donatrion, Will. So Will writes in, "I'm getting back into Transformers toys, and the appeal of so-called third-party toys is lost on me. I have a huge problem with people ripping off the intellectual property of others, and as a collector, I've never been interested in unofficial items as they're, well, unofficial. Having listened to all your podcasts now, I'm wondering what the appeal is for you guys. I can sort of understand that some of these figures are well designed, but when they're competing with official toys, it just seems wrong to choose the ripoff. What are your thoughts here?" So, Daryl, I think I'll let you go first, and I'll add in what I can to your expertise.
Well, it's an opinion, so my opinion is not your opinion, but I guess, okay, Will, my opinion is that I enjoy the third-party aspect of it all. I've bought numerous forms of third-party Transformers, and sure, you know, it's an IP that is owned by Hasbro, but the way I see it is that third-party companies are making high-end collectibles for adults. And they're making figures of characters that Hasbro's not making, or Takara for that matter. They're not making the ones that I'm looking for, and I'm willing to spend more money on something that's made well and of something that is not being made in the official market, right? A great example that's been used numerous times for very similar types of questions are the DJD, right? Something that is not expected to be made by Hasbro anytime soon are the Decepticon Justice Division from More Than Meets the Eye. Fantastic characters from the comics, something that Mastermind Creations has decided they're going to make. So I really like the character of Tarn that was produced in More Than Meets the Eye. And I just wanted to have a figure of him. The people at Mastermind Creations produced one. Now, since then, there has been an official one released that is by Flame Toys. It's more expensive than the one that I ended up buying. It does not transform, which is a problem for me. So if you're going to make a Transformer, it should transform. That's my issue. But it, as far as the difference between third party and other stuff like that goes, I generally believe that they're producing figures for adults. Now, I have a 10-year-old daughter. I don't let her mess with my third party stuff. One, it's too expensive for her to mess with, and if she breaks it, the chances of me replacing it are probably pretty slim. And secondly, she probably wouldn't enjoy it as much. There's a lot of unofficial stuff, there's a lot of official stuff that she prefers. There's no denying the fact that the official Transformers are made for children, right? There is an age range on them that is 8 and up. I think I'm looking around my room. I'm trying to see. Some have 5 and up, 6 and up, but the more modern ones are 8 and up. So as myself being a 39-year-old man, something made for 8 and up does tend to get fairly monotonous and boring. So yeah, I will buy Masterpiece figures, the high-end ones that are produced for mass market. I will buy those, but there are certain numbers of those that I'm not interested in. I'm not a Beast Wars guy, right? I don't get into that stuff. I'm not into a lot of Armada stuff. So a lot of the way that the main line tends to go is I'm kind of getting out of that myself too. Like it's moving away from my tastes. So I need to find avenues to keep myself in it. But that's where third party kind of comes in. Originally I started off by just buying add-on kits. So I would take my original mainline figure and add a third party addition to it to kind of make it different or better, turn it into somebody else or make it a better, more awesomer version of the guy that I wanted it to be. That evolved into me getting, my first official figure that I can't remember who it was now, but I finally got somebody that was, a whole, 100% figure from somebody other than Hasbro. And it was good, so then I moved into getting something else. They all fit fairly well together, but other than that, I would never say don't buy Hasbro Takara because without them, there's no third party. I would never say don't buy third party because there's good stuff there. The designers there are geniuses, the same way they're geniuses at Hasbro and Takara. Some of the engineering stuff that they come up with are things that Hasbro and Takara may have come up with, but don't have the budget to do, right? Yeah, so, if you're a fan of Transformers and engineering and just really cool toys, you're leaving stuff on the table if you don't at least experience some of the third-party stuff just to be a fan. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I generally agree with what you're saying, Daryl. I think for me, the appeal is, as you said, figures that Hasbro just isn't interested in making. Like, I think the Decepticon Justice Division is just not something that has mass market appeal and will not be something that Hasbro will put into their mass market lines anytime soon. Also the different size classes, like you have companies like Iron Factory doing the really small figures, but really putting really good articulation on those figures. Like you get a tiny Megatron that still turns into a gun that has lots and lots of bits of articulation, but he's, the size of a Bumblebee, for example. You pay a premium. They're more expensive and they do not pass child safety tests. But, for an adult who really wants to push the ends of what these toys can be, like the puzzle aspect, the representation from the original media, that's where you can find something that's a niche thing that Hasbro as a giant corporation, just they can't focus on all the niche areas that, fans would be interested in. They're generally not going to touch that. And so, the third party folks fill a gap that it doesn't compete directly with Hasbro for the most part. And when it does, sometimes Hasbro will step in, as we saw with Zeta Toys and their Unicron. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, even when the third party companies are making similar figures that Hasbro is putting out, they're different enough and they are addressing different markets that they're not really interfering with Hasbro's mass market approach. So I feel like it's, yes, it is. In general, infringing on Hasbro's IP, But I think there's a distinction there between kind of homaging us characters that Hasbro owns and straight up copying Hasbro's engineering, like you see with knockoffs. Mm-hmm. And so I think the third party area where you're just taking the idea of a character, but then building your own original engineering design on top of that, I think is more, more acceptable to me than to just straight up knockoffs. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's an argument to be said, like, you know, with regards to the Decepticon Justice Division, and once again, I don't want to kind of use them to death here, but, you know, people will come out and say, well, you don't know that they won't make them. So, you know, what happens when they do make them? You know, if they make them, maybe I'll buy them. They, at this point, they have not, they did not make them. I have another example of, I have two of, I think they produced five fans projects. That's how long ago I bought them. Fans projects headmasters. So I have one. I think it's called Code, and it's a Chrome Dome, and I have Quadruple U, which is Weird Wolf. Both of them, Quadruple U is a standout because he has a really, really cool, you know, engineering trick when is with his transformation that just needs to be done to see. When at the time that I bought them, because their stuff was made in at chug scale, so, you know, normal kind of deluxe whatever scale. So when I bought them, Hasbro didn't seem to have any intention of doing headmasters. Well, fast forward 3 years or so, now we've got all the headmasters have been done. You know, Hasbro, they did every single one you could imagine. Do I still have my Quadruple U in Code? Yeah, I do. Right? Do I mess with them as much? Not really. But if I wanted to sell them, they're definitely not worth as much anymore. But the engineering trick is still there with Quadruple U, and the Hasbro one does not have that same trick. You can compare, they're the same character, they're pretty much the same size class, the quality just isn't there. So you can definitely compare apples and apples here with regards to character-wise and size class. But yeah, it's, you know, by saying I'm going to wait until, you know, mainline produces such and such a figure, right? You may be waiting forever because it may not happen. So if something's out there, you know, for me, I'm just going to go get it, right? But yeah, so I don't know. It's your opinion. I'm not going to belittle you for not, you know, not wanting to buy third party. There are a lot of people who agree with you, right? But it's one of those things that I'm a fan of engineering. I'm a fan of high quality toys, right? The quality of mainline has been dwindling, you know, in recent years, and the price has been going up. So if I'm going to pay more, I want better quality anyway. So that's why I've have no problem with buying third party stuff.
All right. Well, that was a good discussion, and maybe, I mean, I don't know if we can get Jeremy and Yoshi to chime in at some point in the future, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think that was it's an interesting topic, and definitely I think I think Transformers is very unique in that there's a big area for other companies to come in and fill this niche where you don't see third party Thundercats or third party G.I. Joes or third party He-Man Masters of the Universe figures.
You don't even Star Wars is bigger than Transformers, and there's no third party for Star Wars.
Yeah. So it's just a unique, unique thing that happens with Transformers. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
And they did cut off the HasLab thing. They did not extend it another day. So I'm looking at the website now. It is in production group not no longer in active projects on HasLab. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
I'm looking at the numbers for Unicron. It says funded 286%.
Where are you seeing this?
On the main HasLab page here, the link right there.
Please tell me you're recording that.
I have the backup going. I still have the backup going. 286%.
So 16,000 people? And almost
close to 24,000 people.
Oh my god.
Let's see. 286 times 8,000.
Charles is using his basic math.
22,880. Whoa. Really? That must be the third party people like put
you're
all their
22,880?
Yes.
My god. That's insanity. Where did that all come from? Today?
I think the third party people, they must have like all, you know, like BBTS, TF Source, Chosen Prime, they all put their orders in today. Oh, maybe? That's a lot.
That's great. That is a lot, a lot.
We'll see if this stands up tomorrow, if this is the real number, but that's insane.
Mm-hmm. This is a lot.
That was unexpected.
Well, there, now tweeted out your basic math.
Ha 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 ha.